Are you building an intentional legacy, or are you just focused on leaving one? There's a big difference between the two, and we're going to be diving into that on today's episode of the Julian Geno Podcast. Hello and welcome. We are joined today by a special guest, Julia. This guest, at one point in her career, was working 10 years in a law firm, and she saw herself stuck underneath her desk, pumping. And she just said to herself, why am I doing this? This is not the life that I want to live. And that's when I think she ended up thinking about legacy. What is legacy? It's not something that I want to leave behind. It's something that I want to be intentional with. Anne Hsu, she's a coach, she's an entrepreneur, and she's founder of Empowered Journey, helping leaders design intentional lives where success and fulfillment align. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me today.
I want you to expand upon that little story that I mentioned in the beginning, because it's important for the listeners to get to know you a little bit better and get to know you that you struggled early on. You went to law school, you had a powerful career, you thought that's what you wanted to do, and then one day you wake up and you're like, maybe this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
I thought it was what I was supposed to do, right? I thought I was supposed to get a big fancy job and make money and do something that was prestigious to make family proud. And so I kind of just did the things that I, you know, the messaging that I got from society, like do these things, work hard, work your way up the corporate ladder and you'll make money and you'll be happy and life will, you'll have happily ever after. And so that's kind of what I just did my whole life. And one day I looked around and I was like, what am I doing? I did all the things that I was supposed to do. How come, where's this happiness at the end of the rainbow, right? And it wasn't there. It didn't feel fulfilling. It didn't feel like I was doing what I was meant to be doing. I just was doing what I was supposed to be. So you know, I needed to make a change.
And I know, I love that you tell that story, because there are many, many women out there that are told that if you really, truly want to be happy, this is the path. And you just told us what that was. And give us an idea what you're doing now.
Yeah. So at Empower Journey, we were working with couples and helping them get really clear about family values and vision and purpose and legacy so that they can lead their family from that place and not from a place of everyone else's definition of success. Like when, for, you know, most families, when was the last time that the family sat down and said, what does success in our family look like? What is our definition of success? If we were to live our ideal family life together, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What are we doing? And so helping couples really take the time, the space to do that work so they can get that clarity, so they can lead from that place and not just from a place of overwhelm and scattered and violent.
Julia often... She often, what's the word I'm trying to find?
Where are we going with this?
Where are we going?
She's often blames me for wanting to solve. I go into solve
we
mode.
Both go into
I don't
solve
want to go into
mode.
Solve mode yet. I wanted to go into the Anne story because you come home one day and your husband, Julie, came home to me and says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. What was that conversation like? Because I'm sure he wasn't like, that's a great idea. Well, like, quit the job. Yeah. Like, where are we? How did that conversation, you know, evolve? I mean, what happened from there?
Well, I would say, where should I start with answering this question? The person that you marry is the single most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that when I chose Sunny, but I'm so glad that I made a great
decision.
You and me
both, Anne.
Yeah. I mean, like nobody told me that this was such That's a right. big decision. It was just like exactly. all in love and you'll be happy,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful that we're aligned with values and our commitment to growth and curiosity and living into our purpose and doing what we love. And so I would say that I really lucked out, because when I had that conversation, it was a natural progression of conversations that we had been having for many, many years about things that I was passionate about, things that I enjoyed doing and had been doing coaching on the side along the way. And so it was an easy transition because we had been having the conversations, but also because Sunny is deeply committed to growth and really like making the most out of our lives. And it was becoming very apparent that I was not my best self doing what I was doing.
I think one of the big takeaways of this podcast is choose your spouse wisely. Now, and I love that you brought that up, because I think it is important that we are, our values are aligned within reason when we get married, and we have to know what they are and we have to live accordingly, because that's why I want to touch on the family values a little bit more. You know, a lot of times you're in business, you're an entrepreneur, everyone knows their values, they plaster them up on the wall, whatever it is, but we don't know the family values at home because we never even think to talk about them. And what changes once you work with a family or even in your life when you establish what they are and then you get to look at them and say, okay, are we living according to them? How are we saying yes? How are we saying no? What are we saying yes to? What are we saying no to? Give us a little idea what happens.
One of the most common things that we see with our clients once they get clear about their family values is that they're able to use the family values to say no to the things that would have been accidental maybes or accidental yeses, right? It's easy to say no to the hard no's. Like, yeah, we definitely don't want to do that. But once you get clear about your values, you can use them as a filter to say yes to things that you might say yes to because there's pressure or because maybe somebody wasn't thinking straight. I don't know. Right. And so just being able to use those values to filter out the gray. And I find that the gray is where that resentment really builds up. Like, why are we stuck doing this? Well, did we run it through the lens of our family values? And the other thing I would say about family values is when couples sit down to do their family values work, it is not as effective if both people don't have clarity on their individual values. Because what happens when you come together with your spouse to work on family values and you don't have clarity on your own is somebody is bringing a really diluted version of themselves to the table for the sake of creating a list of family values. And what this looks like, what this sounds like is, sure, why not? Let's do it that. Let's go with that one. And I like to use the analogy of like going out to eat and Sonny's asking me, where do you want to go eat? And I'm like, I don't really care. And then he gives me a suggestion. I'm like, oh, I don't really want that. And then he gives me another suggestion. I'm like, I don't really want that. And so see, it's not that I don't care, but I didn't take the time to do the thinking about what do I want? What's important to me? And that's the same thing with family values. When you don't take the time to get clear at the individual level, then you come to the table and you're like, oh, that's fine. That work sounds, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And then you're not really all bought in. You're not fully aligned.
Yeah, I like that. I like that because a lot of times we know what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We're very clear on that. Like you just said, with the dinner, we don't take the time and the effort. Correct?
I want Italian food. I don't know about you. It's interesting that you say that because one of the challenges that I have, because we work in similar areas, you're going to hear people say, I don't have the time to do that. It's too much work. Mm-hmm. I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm.
What is your response to that?
Yeah, that it's so important to treat your family team like the most important team you will ever build, because you always make time for your work team, right? If somebody on your work team, somebody reporting to you is having a work crisis, you make time for that because we think that's an important team. Like we want to make sure that we're putting in the time and the effort to build up that team and set them up for success.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important team. Yes. I don't want to discount how important your work team is, but I would argue that your family team is the most important team that you will ever work on, focus on, build. And so why are we not applying the same level of intentionality that we are giving our work, right? At work, we're setting goals. We're getting clear about values. We're getting clear about what our priorities are, what clients we want to land. Why are we not doing that same type of intentionality work for our family? Getting clear about your family goals and your family values and making sure that you're living aligned with your family vision. I know it is hard and it does feel like asking people to do another thing, but when the family is strong and secure and really operating from a place of grounded confidence, it feels like the members of the family are unstoppable. Because when you have that support of your family, you can go out into the world and you feel like you can do anything.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's completely accurate. I have a question though, because a lot of times when we're working right out in the world, helping other families, it's easier to help other families than it is to do the work inside the home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, if there is an issue at home or one of our kids is struggling with something, we don't know how to handle it. What are some challenges that you have faced in this, in this area I'm talking about? Because, you know, like I said, it's easier to have that view from the outside, but when you're living it and your kids are there and they're living it, maybe they're like, no, Mom, I'm not on board with this. I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, we've had our kids say straight out, can you just stop coaching me? please listen. I don't need you to walk me
I've said
this.
That from time to time.
Yeah. So he says also, it to I've me. Said. And so it's hard to switch over to just mom.
Yeah, yeah. I think the hardest thing for me is I know how powerful the work is. And sometimes I want to just tell them how to do it and what to do. And right. And I forget that they're just kids and that they need to understand the why and they want to adopt it on their own timeline. Right. And so just really like slowing down, because I'm like, oh, well, if we do this, then this will happen in our family and it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
But almost like bypassing this opportunity to let the kids have a say and get bought in and be part of the process, which is what we would do at work, right? Like I'm trying not to like railroad my team and trying to like create buy-in. And I do believe that everybody's opinions help create stronger, more powerful decisions and products. And so why am I not doing that at home? But I don't know, maybe, I don't know. So that's definitely something that I notice and I struggle with, and I want to like shortcut it or hack it at home. And then I end up kind of railroading the kids. And so I have to take a step back, and you know, my kids are really great at calling me out. Like, no, we don't want to do that. That doesn't make sense.
That's why we love our kids, right? Because they call us out. And I think they help us to be more patient and to see things differently. And it is hard to just be okay and watch them fail at something. You see what's going to happen, and it does take a lot to just step back. We struggle with that a lot, because you can see sometimes you're like, I know the outcome, but I'm just going to let them figure it out and mess up and fail, and I'll be there. But it takes a lot from two entrepreneurs and then you and your husband to just watch it happen and to love them so much. But it's so good for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole key, is to know. And we know this from working with other people. When we fail, when we mess up, when we try something new, it doesn't work. That's where we get our strength from. That's where we get a new idea from. But when it's our children or our spouse, and it's like a little different. And so it's a challenge. Yeah.
One of the questions that we try to ask the kids at night is, there's like a whole list of questions that we'll try to go through, but one of them is, what mistake did you make today? Mm. And in the beginning, they couldn't think of mistakes, because we're trying to like, you know, make it just like part of norm. Like, if we celebrate the mistake, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the beginning, it was really hard for them to think about mistakes that they would make. But now, you know, if they would say, oh, I don't have anything today. Mm-hmm. And then I would respond with, man, that sucks. Like, I hope you have a big one tomorrow. I hope you have a big mistake tomorrow. And so they, you know, just doing that for so long now, when it's our turn to answer the question, and Sunny will be like, oh, I don't know. I can't think of anything. And the kids will be like, man, I hope you make a big one tomorrow.
That's awesome. I love that.
Your kids sound like my wife, by the way. I just want to let you know that if I asked my wife that question, she'd be like, spot on. Had a great day. No problems.
Oh, I am the first one to tell you all my mistakes. And I love it.
I'm listening to this. I haven't started this. I want to break it down into a couple of different factors as far as for me, because I'm going to be a little selfish now, because I want to see how it could fit into my life. But let's say I haven't started this at all, this work at all. And I'm just like, I'm building a business right now. I've got some wealth that I've built. I've got kids that are younger, but still, I still need to start. And there's no time like the present. If you haven't started, doesn't matter, didn't do it 5 years ago, now's the time. Where should I start focusing on originally now if I haven't even thought about any of this work?
So there's two ways to answer this question. The most important place to start, I would say, is with your values, your individual values. You've got to get clear on what your no matter whats are. We call them your no matter what values, the things that are non-negotiable that show up no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what season you're in, no matter how much money you have, no matter what. I would argue that's the most important place to start. But what I would say is the most effective place to start is probably doing what we call your weekly FAMs, your family alignment meeting. So when you think about you and your spouse are the leadership team for your family, you gotta operate like you're the leadership team. If you're a leadership team for your company, you guys are having a weekly, you know, check-in every, you know, to check in on how things are going, how are our priorities going. And so while the individual values work is incredibly important, I think what creates the most immediate capacity and space is that weekly family alignment meeting. And here's why. Because part of the weekly family alignment meeting, we call these FAMs for short, but in your FAM, one of the things that we teach our clients is checking in on your values and your goals. For sure, you should do that. But why the FAM is so important is because part of that meeting is syncing up on your calendars. And literally, we teach our clients, you pull out your calendar, your spouse pulls out their calendar, and you just go over the entire week, day by day, who's got what? What are we doing? Is there stuff going on in the evening with kids, extracurriculars? What's going on for dinner? Do we have an evening to go, you know, do a date night? Like Sunny and I try to do date nights every Monday night. And so making sure that we've got childcare coverage. Are there opportunities to do one-on-one dates with each of the kids? Is there anything that's going on this week that we should say no to? And so that exercise in and of itself really helps families shift from this frantic state to really feeling like you've got a handle on the week. Because without the FAM, without that, especially the weekly calendar check-in, what often happens is Sunny will be running out the door in the morning with two kids, taking them to school. And I'll be like, oh yeah, what are we doing for dinner tonight? Oh, who's taking the kids to jiu-jitsu? Who's picking them up? And it is chaotic, right? Mm. And so if you can just have that conversation on the front end, then we're able to really plan out the week and be hyper intentional about the week. And what we found is we can squeeze in lunch dates. We can squeeze in one-on-ones with the kids. We can squeeze in workouts. We can make intentional decisions about, oh no, we said yes to this thing, but we actually want to prioritize going to F45 to go to a workout class instead, right? And so it really helps you feel like you're tackling the week as a team and not roommates, ships passing in the night. Yeah. So that's where I would say to start.
And you are preaching to this choir. My wife is more of like fly by the seat of her pants kind of person. Uh-huh. I always tried to do these weekly meetings and you just didn't want to do them because you thought they were a little too corporate-ish. But now we have more of like the business with the Barbara 360, you know, that meeting. So it's like a struggle for us.
I'm gonna push back after.
Because now she's got her little calendar thing up there. So she goes to their calendar.
I was just gonna say,
I love it. So for anybody listening to this, this is a great place to start. Don't be overwhelmed. Just pull out an 8x11 sheet, go Monday through Friday, go low tech in the beginning and just try it. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't try the whole system at one shot. I mean, I personally would actually ponder maybe the first couple of weeks, just get together and talk about your values instead of even trying to decide anything, because I love it because I've got six cars. I'm going to have six cars in the household. So I got to know which car has, as far as like how many mileage I have to, you know, change the oil on the cars. I got to do all this work.
See, that's not even on my radar.
So that's what I'm saying, but that's on my radar because I got to know which car's got to go in, but you don't know.
But you don't have a radar of who's going to go milk the cow. Okay.
Okay. I don't have that.
It's not on anybody in our family's radar. We don't.
But it's important. And I think for anybody listening to this, you might get overwhelmed and say, well, I don't have the time to do that. But what I've learned is once you create discipline in your life and you create these kinds of rhythms, it takes a lot of the thought process out because you don't have to think who's going to go milk Annie, who's going to change the oil on the Kia, right? Who's going to go feed Lucy, the donkey. It's taken care of because we have it worked out through the entire week. So we sort of do that. And I say that in jest with my wife, that she does fly by the seat of her pants about 30% of the time. The other 70% of the time, she's got the system hacked.
Well, the system Talk to me, baby. Is there. My daughters have gotten me this calendar for our kitchen and it's like an iPad.
Yes.
So I see everyone sees each other's schedule, except for yours, by the way. I feel like you're the king in here. nobody tells Daddy anything because.
Really?
Well, no, just joking. I'm joking for the podcast. Like, you don't have to worry about dinner. You don't have to worry about lunch. You don't have to worry about breakfast, coffee. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. But my point is the family knows each other's schedule. That's new. We just did that. And so it's we wake up in the morning. I don't have to say, okay, we have a lot of kids. Everyone works, everyone does different hours. And of course we buy this farm and now we need all this extra hands on deck for half hour away. And so there's no confusion. And I have to say, out of all the years that I've always tried to do little calendars here and there, trying to figure it out, right now is the most, I'm going to use the words relaxed and peaceful, because we do have a system. It works for our family. I would like it to be a little bit more organized, but at the same time, it's the best it's been.
It's the really most thankful. Wonderful time.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
No,
Anne,
it is.
Coach Julia on how she can become more efficient, because we have adult children, Anne.
So we have almost four adults. She's going to be a senior. She's a senior. And so everyone has their own life too. And so it's a little different. So we have, do you know what I mean? Yeah. A little different right now in our life. So I'm trying to figure that out.
But they still have their own schedules. But when we have to do a family meeting, we at least know when we can schedule it.
But then there are responsibilities that are not theirs.
Yes.
That I have to put that out there too.
Yes.
Go ahead and coach us, because obviously we need it.
Well, I think the shared calendar is amazing because you're kind of bypassing having to kind of work through all those issues. I think it's still helpful to have a conversation at the beginning of every week. And, some of our clients will do them on Sunday evening. Some will do them on Mondays. But just looking at the next 7 days and going, day by day, what's on deck? What do we have? And then looking for those opportunities to be a little bit more intentional, carving out some space and some time for each other, knowing how busy things are. And for those people that are like, we're too busy, we don't have time to do that, I really would challenge them to try it for a week or two. Just do the calendar piece and see what that does for your family. See how it shifts things, because this feeling of busy is a result of a lot of chaos and frantic, on the spot, on the fly decision-making, right? And so when you kind of front load all of those decisions, then it does help your family feel like it's more peaceful.
Yes. And I 100% agree with that one.
But what's cool about it as well is if you see something coming out on Thursday and you're not sure if you want to go, if you're frantic, you're probably going to make the decision poorly, because you're not leaning back on your values and you're making a decision that's based full on cortisol and on adrenaline, rather than being more relaxed and being intentional and saying, hey, A, does it check the values? Yes, it's something that we should do together. And B, we decided a few days ago, not the day before, where we're being frantic and I feel really bad because my daughter wants volleyball and I can't miss it. Instead of sitting there in the beginning of the week and saying, should we go this Thursday, or do we have something more important coming up? Making it from a place of clarity and making it from a place, I don't want to say peace, but really having clear thought and having that clarity will allow you to make the better decision.
Right. And like Anne said, I think when we're too busy, I think that's when we really need it. Mm-hmm. That's when we really need to say, okay, we actually have to do this because of what you said. So I love that.
So we got values. Then we've got the family alignment meetings. What's the next thing? I've got that crushed. I've got my values. Julia's actually doing the meetings with me. I know how many miles her car has. We're going out to dinner Thursday night for date night. What's next after that? What's the next thing I should be working on?
Yeah, your family decade dream is where I would go next. So when we think about values, this is really defining your family's identity, who you are. Your family decade dream is defining, what does ideal family life look like? And we call it your decade dream because it's a 10-year goal. And we intentionally are looking 10 years out so that we are helping you really look further out in your family than you probably have ever thought, planned, right? And so when we think about in the workplace, we are creating a BHAG, a long-term vision for our company. Same idea here. We're creating a long-term vision for our family. What does it look like? What does success look like when your family is saying yes to only the things that really matter? We are being intentional about living in alignment with our values. We have created this amazing family where people feel seen and heard and safe. What does success look like in your life, right? And really capturing that in one succinct goal. It's a singular goal. It's one goal that really helps capture what that ideal life looks like. For our family, we came from working in retail. Our family business was furniture retail. And so we worked really, really long hours. So we knew that for our family decade dream, time freedom would be a really important piece of what ideal life looked like, right? We knew where we came from and we knew what we were trying to build. And so we knew that our family goal, our family decade dream would have a big time freedom component. And so our time freedom component was actually defined through the lens of free days. It's a term from Strategic Coach and it just means 24 hours of not working. Mm-hmm. And so for, you know, Sunny and I, we were pretty much workaholics before. And so our decade dream, our family decade dream is to take 2000 free days together as a family. And so that's, 2000 days where we are not working. And this year, last year we took 200. This year we're on track to take 220 free days. Our goal ends, like our goal is due at the end of 2029. And in 2029, we'll take 300 free days together as a family. And for us, that really means a lot of things, right? So when we think about this decade dream, it should really help you filter decisions. It should help you get clear about what ideal life looks like. And it should imply that this ideal family life is true. So when we think about ideal family life, 2000 free days, it implies that me and Sunny, our marriage is still really healthy and strong. It implies that my relationship with my kids are still really happy and healthy and thriving, that they would want to take that kind of time with me. It implies that we have the financial freedom to take that kind of time. It implies that the team we're building at Empowered Journey is all A players, because there's no way we can take that kind of time off if we're having to micromanage people. So it implies that, everything that we're doing has had massive impact to give us that kind of financial freedom. And so it just implies all of this stuff that we are part of our, you know, ideal family life definition is true in that 2000.
My wife is living the dream right now. So mm-hmm. I'm very interested what her decade dream would be. What is your decade dream?
I feel like
dream,
I'm living
baby?
It. So as Anya, as you're talking, I'm like, I think I'm living it. I think the farm life to me and the, mm-hmm. and the time, like you said, you know, before the restaurant, my husband had the restaurant, it was just always working. And then with the kids always, you know, it's a never ending nonstop with little guys. So I feel like I'm on, both of us are on that next stage where we're doing what we love, still hanging out with the kids. Like I said, half the kids are adults now, but they're never leaving. I don't know. They just, they won't move out. So maybe we did too much fun of a job.
Which is fine. I actually enjoy that. I appreciate that.
Half joking, I like half that. Not joking. Love you kids. But I think that's the whole key is that we had it in our heads what we wanted from a long time ago. We lived the life, I guess, in order to get to this point. Maybe accidentally, maybe purposely. I'm not sure.
I don't think it was accidental. I think
the values.
Yeah,
I think values definitely yeah. played a
and
part.
And I could have pushed on. I could have done yeah. more real estate deals. I could have done. Yeah. So I really veered off of that.
We're
course.
Working with the children now, so we yes. have our company. So there, that is like my husband and I can be on working all the time, and it's our kids that are like, "No, Mom, we're actually going to have dinner now." Like, okay, no talking about business. So it's that to me is. I feel like I'm living it.
I wonder,
who knows
I wonder
what 10 years, what about you?
I don't know. I'm going to, don't worry about me right
okay.
now. I like,
it's fine.
I love this because I want to really recap the values, yeah. the family alignment, family decade dream. Let's go to the next step. Let's give them at least one more step because they've got to crystallize now. I've got my values, right? I've got my alignment meetings. I'm getting on the same page with my team members, with my family. Mm-hmm. I've got this decade. I've got, as our late friend Rick Sapio used to say, that catalyzing statement, that one statement that every company should have. Domino's had it. Get it there in under 30 minutes. That's what everyone knows Domino's for. What do you want your family to be known for as far as that vision? You've got all of that crystallized right there. What's the next thing that I should be focusing on?
Okay, so this kind of ties to your family decade dream, but if your family decade dream is 10 years out, really being intentional about what does it look like in 3 years for your family? What does it look like in the next year? What does it look like in the next 90 days? And making sure that as a family, you're sitting together and setting 90-day goals every single quarter. What do we need to be working on? What do we want to be working on? What do we want to be focused on to really make some intentional progress toward that ideal family life? And so, making sure that you're doing that at the beginning of the quarter and then at the end of the quarter, checking in on those goals. How did we do? What went well? Where did we miss on some of these goals? And thinking about those lessons learned so that we are making toward progress toward that decade dream? Because it would be really easy to just set that decade dream and then it lives on the wall.
Yeah.
But if we're not making progress towards it, if we're not going to be intentional about it, what's the point of doing that? Just to make us feel crappy about ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. 10 years seems like a lifetime. And I think that I love that, that 90 days, because now you're like, okay, what's working, what's not working, and we can make adjustments.
Are you going to commit to the next 90 days with me?
I commit every day.
I mean, committing to this. I know Fuse is probably like, it's crazy. a little corporate-ish, but it's one of those things where you can make you can make your own structure. You can have the quote unquote your family meeting.
He's dying for family meetings, and he is dying.
Well, we did one at the end of the year, so and the Q1's coming up, because I have my Q1 meeting with the team next week as far as the real estate goes. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be long, long drawn out. I want to go over the family vision. I want to go over the family mission statement. I want to go over the family governance. I want to talk about the structure of the trust and all that. Make sure you guys are all on the same page. That could probably take 30 to 45 minutes. And then everyone can share stories. See? And then I think stories are important as well as far as this goes, because I think stories are being passed down from our generation to the next generation. So these meetings are really important, because that's where you can get around talking about the stories that are important and talk about, remember when we get together and you start sharing family stories and your kids are like, oh, wow, that was what grandpa was like, or that's what great grandpa was like. So that's why these meetings that you're talking about, as you're listening to this, don't just discount it, because they're so powerful and so many great things come out of these meetings when you sit with your family. And it does sound structured and it does sound rigid, and it doesn't have to be. Any way your family rolls, it's fine. But I would just put it on the calendar. Make sure that everyone's got a time and spend 30 minutes, and you'll be amazed at what comes out when you start talking to your kids and listen. Just let them go first and let them start sharing. And then from there, you pick it up.
I think you'll like what I'm about to say. Okay. I do. Okay.
I do. I like about everything you say, baby.
Thank you. I do know that we have intentions. We were like, all right, I want my family to, you know, we want to talk about these things, and we think about them. A lot of us do, right? We think about them. We think about them. We think about them 10 years later. We haven't done anything. And so to both of your points, I do agree that you do have to be intentional, and that would be a family meeting, whenever that is. And I'm on board 100%.
You're on board. Okay.
And so I would tell the listener that for family meetings, there are two types of family meetings. There is the family meeting that happens with the leadership team. So you and your spouse need to have a family alignment meeting, right? So that you are aligned as leaders. And then separately, there is a family meeting that happens with the kids.
Yeah.
And it's really important to keep the two separate, because if the leaders, I mean, just think about running a business, right? The leadership team of a business never had time to talk behind closed doors about what's working, what's not working, what do we really want for the vision for our company. That company would be just chaos.
Right.
And so why do we think if we're not doing that in the home, right? Having those leadership team meetings for our family, that it won't be equally as chaotic. That's what happens. That's why so many families feel like it's busy and chaotic and frantic and are just like flying by the seat of their pants.
Right.
So making sure that we're
also it's important as the leaders in the house, because that's something to remember, is that the kids are learning how to be leaders. So if it is always chaotic, if it is always loud and no one knows what they're doing, then they're going to grow up, get married, and their house will probably be like that too.
And I'm going to throw this in there for anybody listening that's discounting or that doesn't agree with what we're saying. I have some simple stats. 95% of all businesses in the United States never surpass $1 million, right? And then only from million to 10, I think out of those 95%, 20% of the ones that surpass that from 1 to 10 million go above $10 million. So it's very similar with the family. You have a lot of dysfunctional families in the country. The ones that do really well, they do really well. So the vast, and it's the same thing with businesses. So what you're talking about here is a lot of business principles, and it's like running the family. It's very, very similar. And I think people, when they hear that, they're like, no, that doesn't equate. But I can guarantee you that if you don't, you don't believe us, just look at the statistics with how families are run, how families are doing well, and businesses. Most businesses are started by technicians who aren't entrepreneurs, who are just out there trying to find the job and trying to replace the job they hate with one that they create themselves, and they create burnout. They don't have any systems. They don't have any processes. They don't have any way to grow it healthily. And I think when you look at it from the family lens, you're like, oh, we did that often. And the principles that you're talking about and the processes that you're talking about are exactly what helps a business thrive. So if you're an entrepreneur out there, you already have these tools.
Yes.
Just start using these tools in the home and convince women like Julia that it's okay. Yeah, I know you don't want to talk about cash on cash. We're not talking about cash on cash. Right. We're not talking about debt coverage ratios. We're talking about like,
let me just put one thing out. The reason I think a lot of people resist, not a lot of people, some people.
Or you?
Or me. Because okay. Sometimes it seems so corporate-like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And yes. I think there are moments where I've seen other families where they're so rigid and I'm like, oh, I never want that. And so you think to the extreme of, you know, we have friends that had, there was two military parents and it was, everything was very structured. And I was like, I don't think that's good. So I feel like a lot of times we think the extreme. And so like, let's bring it back a little bit. So we're not that extreme. You know what I mean? So I think that's why some of us resist.
So can I just, let's play with that a little bit, because I think it's an important thing to talk about, because this is a common resistance that I hear, right? Like, oh, I don't want to run my family like a business. Yes. And what I would say is the structure that we help our clients implement in their family, the weekly family alignment meeting, the quarterly planning meetings, right? The annual planning meeting, all of that is less, that structure is less than 5% of your wake time in the entire year.
Less.
Right? And so, yeah, less. And so when you think about 5% of your time as a family has structure and the other 95% probably has more freedom, honestly, right? Because of the 5% of structure. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I would say. And then the other thing I would say, you know, Gino, you kind of mentioned this, but there's so much freedom within guardrails. Like when you know what you're trying to build and what you're building toward and how you want to do that, there's so much freedom and creativity and beauty that happens within that. Mm-hmm. When you don't have the guardrails, things start feeling chaotic and you start saying yes to all the different things and got kids going to like 10 different sports and 10 different directions, that's when things probably are not feeling as fun and relaxed and enjoyable. And so, yeah.
It's interesting you say that, because when you look at the rhythms that we had in our businesses, you have a morning huddle with the team. It's like having a cup of
coffee.
It's your baby. Yeah. And then you have your quote unquote end of day reports. You know, how many apartments did we lease? What's the delinquency look like? What are we doing tomorrow?
Business.
And I'm just saying, I had to plug this in, baby, just a little bit. But I'm just trying to make it for the entrepreneur. End of day. Jewel, how was your day? What mistakes did you make today? Gino, I didn't make any mistakes, baby. So end of day reports, right? Then the weekly huddle is getting together, having a parking lot of ideas, because I couldn't talk to you all week. I was excited, but we're going to talk about it on this meeting. Mm-hmm. The quarterly planning. Every 3 months, get together. What are we going to do next quarter? What's the big trip going to happen? What's going to happen with the family? What are we planning to do? Right. And then the annual one is like the yearly meeting. So as you can see, all these meetings, they may sound like meetings, but you're already doing them unconsciously.
As long as there's coffee involved, I think all of our kids would be on board.
Well, they sort of already are on board if you think about it. Because then we have
I'm mostly joking.
Yeah, but we have dinner at night every night together as a dinner, and we're there for 30 minutes at the dinner table, no devices. We're all talking. Yeah. It can get loud. I can barely get any words in edgewise, and it's great. But that's our end of day. Like, how did everybody's day? And it becomes informal, but it happens almost every day of the week. And you can pick times. If you have only the ability to get together with the family once, get together for breakfast for a few minutes, or get together for lunch or dinner. Pick one of those during the day, and that's your daily quote unquote huddle. And I'm just trying to not make it feel structured, but I'm telling you, once you get it in there, kids are going to like it, because there's a rhythm to it and there's a certainty to it.
Well, they want order too.
Yes.
And I want to put that out there, is they don't. Sometimes we think as parents, we're the only ones that are experiencing the chaos and the uncertainty and all this. and they're feeling it. I mean, we all remember when we were younger and our moms trying to figure out where we were, and we didn't have phones at the time, and it was chaos and we felt it. And I think it's good to remember is that they are also feeling it. It might come out differently. They might have different vocabulary for it, but they don't like it. They want order too. And so we have to remember that it's not just for us, it's for our whole family as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would say that some of the structure, depending on what you implement, right? Like maybe you have something that you do every night at dinner. Like there's mm-hmm. a certain question or two that you ask at dinner that may feel like structure to some people, but I would argue that, you know, in 5, 10, 20 years, mm-hmm. your kids are going to call that a tradition.
Oh, 100%.
That's the fun thing that we did together as a family.
That's right. 100%. I like that you said that. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And as people are getting interested in really taking hold, because one of the things that one of my mentors taught me was legacy is not something that you leave behind. It's something that you activate today. And that's where I think the paradigm shift should happen for people, because some people may not be ready for change yet. They may not even be aware of it, right? They're pre-contemplating. Now they're hopefully in the contemplation stage because they've heard, wow, if I start thinking about this and I start becoming intentional, okay, I can become intentional. Now's the preparation stage. Where can they get, you know, to learn more about you, more about what Empower does, how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm happy to share those handles. And then yes. our website is empoweredjourney.com, empowered journey.com. And yeah, I would be happy to anybody. This is our passion project. This is our purpose work. I left my legal career to do this work because this was my calling. This is what I felt was really important. And this is part of our legacy. And so I am obsessed with this work. We do it because we really want to make an impact on the world. So if anybody is listening and is curious and just wants to talk, feel free to shoot me a message. The conversations, questions, love to just be available, be a resource to anybody that's curious.
I just want to thank you, Anne, because I feel like, as a mom, as a wife to an entrepreneur, it can be overwhelming, and it really can. And it's almost like you said in the beginning, the world tells us, especially us women, get an incredible career, make a lot of money, and you're going to be satisfied. And from experience, from both of us, we know that that's not the case. It wasn't true. And so now what do we do? And I love that you have a whole program to guide and help people get to what you have, which is an incredible family, that there's where you're making the impact, because you are raising the kids, your spouse, you and your spouse are raising these children to be out in the world. And the future is going to continue through your family, which is incredible when we think about it, like for generations. And so I just want to thank you for just being out there and being so brave and courageous, because it takes a lot.
So. Julia, you use the word entrepreneur. You always look at me. But the reality is that I think mothers who stay at home are the biggest kinds of entrepreneurs out there. Listen, even if you're working as an employee, mm-hmm. AI is coming. You need to learn the skills that Anne is teaching, mm-hmm. because you need to become entrepreneurial. Right. You need to be able to create value for your boss. And fortunately, you have a family at home. You need to learn how to create value for them. You need to learn how to become more intentional. You need to learn how to become more disciplined. And the entrepreneurs who succeed, they understand how to create value, but they also understand how to be disciplined and how to get back a lot of the time. So thinking about structure and thinking about your family and your business. And as you're listening to this, whether you think you are or you think you aren't, you are an entrepreneur. And that's what the world desires of you. Yes, baby, you're an entrepreneur out there. You're not making the bucks. You're always thinking, well, entrepreneurs aren't there just making money. You're creating value for our family. You're raising 6 amazing kids. Mm-hmm. You're making breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're doing all the hard work. And that's what I think people misunderstand.
Milking the cow.
You're feeding the donkeys. You're getting the eggs. Even the honey. We got honey today. Oh. Just think about that. That's what entrepreneurship is all about. Yeah. And sometimes there's a lot of skills that we don't learn. And we think we're supposed to be born with all of these skills. Yeah. Go visit Anne's website, Empowered. And it's S-H-E-U, Anne Shu.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And you, any last words for our listeners that you just want to leave with? Because we talked about.
Yeah, I just think that the family life that you want is within reach. Mm-hmm. All it takes is just making some space. Make some space for yourself to think and reflect and define what that looks like so that you can make it a reality.
Thanks for tuning into the Julia and Gino podcast. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. And thanks to Anne. And we will see you on next week's show. Take care, everyone.